Let's open God's written word together, and Dawn Skingle is going to read it for us. Thank you. We're in Ruth chapter 1. Although it will be on the screen, can I encourage you to read it in your own? Thank you.
The reading this morning is from the first book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "Will we go back with you to your people?" But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you. If you want to follow some notes on the YouVersion Bible app, use the QR code there. I wonder if any of these images describe where you are at, or where you have been, or someone that you know is at. I wonder what you do When you're sick and tired and in a place you don't really want to be. It might be that the place isn't actually a geographical place, but it's more of an emotional place or a financial place, a relational place. You just know that you don't want to be there. I wonder what you do when you're in, when you're sick and tired and in a place you don't really want to be, and it feels as if God isn't there and God doesn't care. I wonder if you are in that place or have been, or you know someone that is. We're going to be looking over these next 4 weeks at the book of Ruth, and my prayer is that we discover the unfailing kindness and providence of God as we look at God's word and look at this book of Ruth. And we're encouraged to know what to do if we find ourselves in a place like this, feeling that way. Today's title, I don't normally share titles, but today's title is an invite. How to find the kindness of God when you're sick and tired and don't know what to do. And hopefully, for anyone who is sick and tired and doesn't know what to do, that you will discover the kindness of God this morning. It's helpful to have the Bible open in front of you. If you need a paper version, you don't have one on your device, just pop up your hand, one of the Connect team will bring one to you. If you don't have a Bible at home, take it. Feel free to take it. Let us know so we can replace it, but please know our heart would be for you to have God's word in your hands and then hopefully in your head and heart as well, rather than not having one. The first verse, in the days when the judges ruled. Now, the Old Testament goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, they go into the promised land. Then the book of Judges happens. And it's during a period, probably the 11th century BC. And the people of God come close to God and then wander away. And as they wander away, God allows different nations to come in and to oppress them, to rule over them. And then God rescues them by using a judge, a leader, to free them. And during this time, the kind of historic period is summed up in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, and it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. So as we read in Ruth chapter 1, this is during the time where everyone does as they see fit. And it says there's a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. And it says there what it means. My God is king. He's called something, but doesn't live in accordance with his name. Now, some of you may be getting tired of me saying what names mean. I quite like it. You may have picked up on that. Sometimes as we look at God's word and we come across a name and look at what it means in the original, it adds a richness to understand, or a key to understanding the passage. Now, Elimelech, I don't want to be too hard on him because we don't know what we would do if there was a famine in this land, what we would try and do to provide food for our families. But Elimelech was called, my God is king. But then he did as he saw fit. He chose his own way rather than going God's way, waiting for God's provision. He took things into his own hands, and he goes to Moab. Now, Moab, as you can see, is the other side of the Dead Sea from Bethlehem, and he goes through about a 7 to 10 day journey. He's gone from the house of bread, Bethlehem, the meaning of Bethlehem, the house of God's provision, God's blessing, the same town that who will be born in? Good Sunday school answer. If you're not sure in church, say Jesus. He's normally the answer. That's the place that Jesus will will be born in. And in chapter 4, we see something about the descendants of Jesus coming from Bethlehem. And they go seven to 10-day journey to Moab. Now, Moab wasn't too far away, but the way that they were living was definitely far away. Moab wasn't a good place. The people were enemies of Israel, as we read in the book of Judges. They oppressed them and ruled over them. They were sexually immoral. We read that in the book of Numbers. They had detestable idol worship, including, as I said 2 weeks ago, including worshiping Chemosh, which involved sacrificing children. And Naomi, whose name means pleasant, finds herself in a really unpleasant place because either her husband or she and her husband had made the decision to move from Bethlehem. To make things worse, they've called their sons really awful names. If you are expecting, or your children are expecting, you're going to be grandparents, don't call your children sickness and exhausted. Sickness, exhausted, your dinner's ready. It's not going to... Maybe she named Killian just after she'd given birth. Right, I'm done. I'm exhausted. Maybe, though, God has, in his providence, in his plan, he got them to name these two sons so that now we look back and see what to do when we're feeling sick and tired, when we're completely done in and exhausted and we don't know where to go because we're finished. Otherwise, it's just weird names, isn't it? They find themselves in a far-off place, away from God's blessing and provision, away from God's people, sick and tired, done in. I wonder if you find yourself there. I wonder if you've been there, or someone you know is there now. And it might be that they have wandered or you have wandered and you know, you've known my God is king, but you've gone your own way and you have chosen to go to a place like Moab and you've wandered from God. Did you decide to go there? Maybe you did. Maybe you made the choice to move a little bit away from God. There's a slow process. You've turned away. Or maybe you're in that place of Moab with finance. And one bad financial decision that you haven't sought God's wisdom, one bad financial decision has led to a big Moab mess financially. Or you've made a decision relationally and you've wandered from God's place of blessing and provision and you're in a Moab relationship. And you don't know where God is and it's just feeling, maybe not physically sick or physically exhausted, but you just feel the weightiness of sickness and exhaustion in your life. Maybe decisions that someone else made or someone else is leading has led you to a place of Moab. And it wasn't your choice. We don't know if Naomi made the choice to go to Moab. It doesn't say in God's words. But we can understand from the culture at the time that it probably would have been that Elimelech said, let's go. And they went. Maybe someone's decisions or someone's actions have knocked you into a place of, I just feel completely done in. And I don't know where God is and I don't know how to get out of this. And Naomi finds herself in this place, not wanting to be there, and her sons die, her husband has died, she's got two daughter-in-laws. And it's quite understandable for her if she were to ask this question, where is God? Where is God in all of this? In verses 1 to 5, God seems hidden.
And in the book of Ruth, we don't see God doing the miraculous. We don't see him bringing Elimelech back to life, or sickness and tired back to life. We don't see a burning bush like God reveals himself to Moses. We don't see an axe head floating like in another passage in the Old Testament. We don't see these miracles. So where is God? Well, he seems hidden. I want to just go through this a little bit for us. Because if you find yourself in a place where you cannot see or feel God, that seemingly he is hidden, that you're in a verses 1 to 5 time in your life, know that verse 6 is happening. Because in verse 6 we read that Naomi hears that God has provided. He's come to the aid of his people. God is at work. And it isn't really just verse 6, because he hasn't finished the story yet in chapter 1. Chapter 1 isn't the end of the book of Ruth. And it might be that you feel that God is nowhere to be seen or felt or heard. And as you go through the rest of the chapter, it's like, well, where is God in this? Know that he hasn't finished the story. And the situation that you're in is not your permanent situation. God doesn't want you to stay in Moab. He doesn't want you to be in that place of distance from him. And it might be that you're blaming God for the place that you're in. And you find yourself in that cycle of I'm blaming God, and then I feel guilty for blaming God, so I feel worse and I feel more at a distance from God. And then I'll blame him some more, and then I'll feel worse and guilt for blaming God. God is big enough for you to shout at him and for you to throw things at him and to be real with him. So don't feel the guilt if you are blaming God at the moment. Too many times I've read this passage and I've thought, Naomi, you should have known better. You were an Israelite. You were a person of God. You were a person of faith. You should have known not to go to Moab. Naomi, you should have had more faith. You shouldn't go bitter. You shouldn't change your name from Pleasant to Mara, which means bitter. You shouldn't have this poor old me mindset. As I was reading and praying through this passage this week and in the summer when I was doing the main writing for it, I just felt that if I was in Naomi's shoes or sandals, I would want someone to actually look at me with the grace of Jesus rather than the judgment of humanity. And I looked at it and I thought, whoa, Naomi, it's a natural response to blame God and to say, God has been harsh with me, and to feel that. And to be real with him and to say to him, God, it feels so harsh. Let's be gracious to those who are like Naomi, those who find themselves in Moab. If you're not in Moab and you're in Bethlehem, don't look at Naomi and say, Naomi, you should have known better. Let's be a church that looks at Naomi's and says, Naomi, I'm going to embrace you with the love and grace of Jesus and help you back to Bethlehem. He's seemingly to blame, and it's hard. God is also knowable. Verse 16 and 17, somehow, even though Naomi has gone through so much, losing Elimelech, losing her two sons, Ruth knows something about the Lord's. And in verse 16 and 17, she's made a choice to leave Chemosh and the other Moabite idols behind. She's made a choice to follow the God of Naomi. So even when Naomi has been in a far-off place, even when she's been hurt and afflicted and is blaming God, somehow Ruth has got to know something of God through her life. And God hasn't finished the story yet. In theology, there's this phrase of God's providence. I'm not going to spend ages on it, but through the book of Ruth, this is what we need to learn to lean on. And if we find ourselves in a place where the miracles aren't coming, the breakthroughs aren't coming, we just trust in the character and the person and the providence of God. God's providence means God's wise plan, that God knows, and knows what is right. God's sovereign, he reigns over all things. Even when we cannot see his control or his hand at work, he is sovereign over all things. That God is powerful enough to sustain all things and bring his purposes through those things. That God loves and cares for people and shapes people in situations according to his purpose. When we are in the Moab place, like Naomi found herself in, we might not be able to feel God's providence. We might not be able to see God's providence. We might not be able to see God at work showing his plan, sovereignty, sustaining power, love and care and shaping. But we need to lean on God's providence in those times and know from the whole of Scripture that God has shown himself to be wise and sovereign and sustaining and powerful and loving and shaping. And as we come through chapters 2, 3, and 4, we will see more and more and more of this, of God's providential work in Naomi's life and Ruth's life, and ultimately, because of this story, in our lives. As we'll see more in chapter 4. So what do we do if we find ourselves, like Naomi, sick and done in a far-off place with God seemingly absent? Well, we need to hear that God is coming to the aid of his people, verse 6. And as we hear that call, as we hear God at work, as we hear something about God, we need to turn around. To get to Bethlehem, we need to leave Moab behind. We need to turn around. To turn back to God. Now, as we go through verse 11 and 12 and 13, we see that something of Naomi's pain is sticking to her. She's physically left Moab with Oprah and Ruth. And she's having this conversation. She said, come with me. And then, actually, no, you go. And she goes into a place of poor old me. I'm going to send them off because actually I'm choosing bitterness. I'm choosing to keep the pain of Moab with me even though I'm going to Bethlehem. I just want to encourage you that if you're leaving Moab, leave it completely behind and allow God by his Holy Spirit, as you surround yourself with the people of God, the people of faith, allow him to remove every aspect of Moab pain and hurt and impact from your life. Because Naomi had chosen the identity of, although I've physically left Moab, so did I say Naomi? Yeah. Naomi had, although she had physically left Moab, she had kept the pain of Moab rather than seeking the hope of Bethlehem and God's bringing something new. We turn around. We leave Moab completely and allow God to minister in deep into us deeply, we try to take others with us. As I said, taking Oprah and Ruth, taking them back to the land, the place where God is, as it were. And can I encourage you that if you find yourself on this journey from Moab to Bethlehem, or you're helping someone from Moab to Bethlehem, that you get them to pray. You yourself pray, or if you're helping someone, you encourage them to pray for themselves. Naomi had made the decision to turn. We commend her for that decision. Naomi had chosen to pray blessing on Oprah and Ruth. We commend her for that decision. She prays, may God bless you with his kindness. May he show his kindness to you and give you a future. But as for her, she had chosen not to receive that kindness or pray for that future for herself. And I just encourage you, if you're turning from Moab to Bethlehem, to pray for yourself, not to just rely on other people's prayers, although people will be praying if you ask them. Don't just pray for others. Pray, God, show me your kindness as you, Lord, have shown kindness in the past. Verse 9, don't just give Oprah and Ruth a future, but I'm trusting that you have a future for me. Naomi couldn't see a future at that time. She couldn't see through her pain going from Moab to Bethlehem. She also possibly couldn't see what God was able to do. I really feel that God wants to say to some people this morning that your present pain is not your permanency. Don't allow Moab to cling to you, but allow God to bring healing and hope to you. If you are in Moab, try and see that there is hope for you as well. I'm believing that your current feelings and situation are not the way things will always be for you. Why? Because I know that God is kind and powerful and will not just sustain you because of his providential care, but he will bring about his kingdom purposes and plans in you. He is able to bring change. He is able to give you a future. But I recognize, as someone who is responsible for you pastorally, just to say we do pastoral share, we're all responsible, but as a pastor in this church, I recognize that for me to say that might be too much at the moment for you. So please just hear this and take this on board, that God, take it on board, that God is kind. That he is kind for you and to you. Turn to him. And trust him. I love what Ruth says to Naomi. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God's. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. This is verse 16 to 18. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. To begin with, I thought, oh yeah, Ruth has faith in God. And she clings to that faith. She trusts God more than Naomi does. But we don't know that from Scripture. And I don't want to impose on Scripture what I think it should be saying. So let's just look at what Ruth does. And allow that to encourage us to do that to God. Ruth clung. Verse 14.
trusting God isn't always standing in the service and saying, I will trust you alone, with arms out wide. Trusting God could be like this image on the screen, crouching down and just simply reaching out in prayer and just touching and holding onto his feet and saying, I'm clinging to you. With what little faith and strength that I have, I'm clinging to you. And as Ruth said to Naomi, I'm not going to let go. I'm not letting go of you. Trusting God could be just holding onto his feet or the hem of his garment and saying, I'm not going to let go of you. That small embrace, like a pinch of his garment. And as we learn how to do that, and we learn to trust God again, as we've journeyed from Moab to Bethlehem, it might be that we hold onto his hands and say, I'm not letting go. And then as we learn how to walk with him and hold onto his hands, where he goes, I go, and things, learn to trust him again, we realize that actually we're not just clinging onto him with all of our strength, but he's clinging onto us and saying over us, I will not let you go. And with whatever strength you're clinging onto me, with all of my strength and love, I'm clinging onto you. We're to trust God as we turn to him, knowing that he is faithful, he is kind, and he will work out his purposes according to his love and wisdom. God's saying, I'm not letting go of you. Trust me with whatever little faith you have. I'm not letting go of you. It might be that you need to know that God knows. You know, there's that phrase that people say, oh, God knows. Whenever someone says that, I say inside, oh, indeed he does. So it might be that you're saying, how can I turn around to God and trust him? I can't see him. I don't know that he knows. I don't know that he cares. Let me just tell you about Jesus. Oh, we're in the book of Ruth, but yeah, we're looking ahead to the future of Ruth. And Ruth has a descendant who goes to the cross. Sorry to steal the thunder from chapter 4. Jesus comes and shows us that God knows and God cares. He shows us his great kindness and love. Because God of highest heaven comes to a far off place, a place filled with wandering, but not his own wandering. A place filled with sickness and exhaustion, but not his own sickness. A place filled with people who might say, my God is king, with their mouths, but live their lives just as they see fit. And out of his great kindness and love, Jesus leaves the presence and provision of heaven to rescue his people who find themselves in Moab. And he experiences the hiddenness of God. On the cross, he says, Father, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? And what does he do in that moment? He turns to God in prayer and he entrusts his life into God's care. Even though the people around him didn't know what God was doing or what was happening, even though possibly we didn't know, Jesus didn't fully know how it was going to work, he just knew it was going to work, and he submitted his life, trusting his life into God's, into his Father's hands. He showed his great kindness, knowing somehow that his Father was working out his purposes and salvation story through the things he was going through. Can we look at verse 22 together? Chapter 1 ends with this verse. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. The story doesn't finish there. The barley harvest is just beginning. We've got chapters 2, 3, and 4 to come. Your story hasn't finished. It doesn't finish in Moab. It doesn't finish on the journey back to Bethlehem. Can I encourage you to turn and to trust and allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to you or minister through you? And I recognize that not everyone is going to be in a place of Moab, but it might be that someone you know finds themselves in a far-off place, in a place they don't want to be, a place of sickness and exhaustion, and they need someone to go to Moab to bring them back to Bethlehem. Let's pray together as the band come up. Father God, we thank you for your words, written so many centuries ago. Thank you that it is for us today, though. I recognize, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you've been speaking to different people in different ways in this room and online. For those who find themselves in a far-off place in Moab, completely done in, call them now and give them the strength to turn back to you. For those who are on the journey back to you from Moab, or have turned back to you ages ago but have lived with some of Moab still on them and in them, I just speak that words release in Jesus' name. Your pain is not your permanency. There is a future for you. May God show you his kindness. Lead your people back to you. And for those who aren't in Moab but are in Bethlehem, send us out, Lord, to bring those who are far from you and just need to come back. Help us to be a gracious people who treat Naomi's with love and with grace and listen to their pain, but don't let them wallow in it. And lead them to your mercy and kindness and hope. By your Holy Spirit, minister to us as we respond to you now. Amen.